With the help of technology, it's becoming increasingly easy to work wherever and whenever you like nowadays. But according to a study from the University of Surrey, this also means it's becoming increasingly difficult to switch off leaving work in the office. We knew that. Are you guilty of it, though, and what might it lead to? You're not going to get a proper balance of your work to personal life ratio. We have with us here in the studio business owner and mum of four, Tessa Hartman. Good morning, Tessa.
Good morning.
You've been away, haven't you? Look at the colour of you.
And it's not fake this time.
No, it's for real.
That's a shocker. It's for real. Yes,
right.
It's for real.
Well, you needn't tell us where you were. In London, we have leadership psychologist Avril Lehman. Good morning, Avril.
Good morning.
How lovely to talk to you as well.
Thank you. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Oh, Happy New Year. Happy New Year, everybody. Happy New Year. Incidentally, Sean Donaldson late in with the five words, but I'll say them anyway. Staying in this weekend only.
Ooh.
Like, does that mean he's just staying in this weekend and then the rest of the year he's out?
He's just
or he's just staying in this weekend. All right, Tessa, I imagine your phone is never out your hand.
Yeah,
the tablet's switched on.
Everything, you know, you've got the laptop, the iPad, the iPad Nano, the phone. You know, look, I think it's just the way society's evolved. Mm-hmm. You know, I think there is that whole question of, oh, you know, I read the research that they published yesterday. But, you know, that's life now. And I don't necessarily think being slightly controversial, the psychologist should be telling us to switch off.
Yeah.
I think they should be giving us mechanics to deal with it because that is the way the world is.
And I'm with you.
I bet you they distributed that press release digitally to hundreds of outlets instantaneously. I bet you at the conference they had digital streaming so that everyone could watch it around the world. So
many years of humanoids been kicking around this planet.
Yes,
it's not long. 75,000 with opposable thumbs for 74,000 odd years. No idea what the opposable thumbs were for. Texting.
Yeah. It's Darwinism. It's survival of the fittest. Yes, do I work around the clock? Yes, I do. But, you know, let's talk about the advantages it gives me as a mum. I can go to the school play. I can, you know, go to all these different school things because I've got my phone there. 10 years ago, my girls, who are almost 18 now, I couldn't do that. You know, you had to stay at the office. So for me, I think the technology revolution is brilliant.
What are the downsides, Avril?
Well, no, I want to sort of stay with Tessa for a minute because I am one psychologist who's not going to say, for goodness sake, stop working. Mm-hmm. Because like her, I think incredibly lucky to live in this time. I have it all. I won't say the name of the manufacturer, but anything they make, I'm going to have because I love it, because it's cool, but it also means I'm constantly connected. But you see, I have a business I love. I do a job I adore. I'm an optimist, so I think if an email's pinging in late at night, it's going to be some juicy present. I don't want to miss it. I'm far too nosy for that. And she's absolutely right that this way allows people to do agile working and should open the world up for women. They don't need to be given favours or anything like that. They can work all sorts of time, as can men. However, we're still in a lifestyle where the bosses of many organisations are of a certain age, and they may not actually even, as I am, but they may not even have learned how to use their email. They've got PAs to do that. So they don't understand this concept. So they kind of expect you to do a whole day's work.
Uh-huh.
And they haven't really got this modern idea of agile working, which actually is super, because if you can play, if you have control and you can play to your time, like I work best sort of early in the morning, my colleague works best in the middle of the night. So he sends me emails. I answer them in about, you know, 5 hours later,
right,
sort of thing. But if you don't have power and control over yourself, then if it's driven by anxiety or fear of losing your job or fear of not responding to an overbearing boss who's sending you, and I know one of these particularly, who sends people emails at 4 a.m, they ping on their BlackBerries and they then, you know, lie awake worrying about it. No, they can't.
Oh,
they can't.
Shoot.
These were fixed BlackBerries.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So
when
I spoke to him, you can fix a BlackBerry so that it's going to ding for your employees.
Even on silent, one person described it as sounding like the tumble dryer was on.
Right.
But when he was challenged, he said, no, it came to my mind. I got it off my chest. Mm. But he had no understanding of what impact it was having on anxious people.
Well, the reason we're talking about this is that the study suggests that if you don't switch off, you're in danger of switching off your relationship. So you have to have a very understanding partner. Tessa first.
Well, I'm fortunate in that, you know, my husband's probably as much as a workaholic as I am. But I think, you know, I think the point Avril's making is that not just an issue of bosses and, you know, similar thing. That's not an issue of the digital revolution. That's just having a boss who's a pain. You know, if you go back 10 years, he could say to you, I want that document and I want 50 pages by tomorrow morning. It's a different type of complaint. But I don't think that's necessarily a
point
of...
But he's not chapping your door at 4 in the morning.
You know, that's us who choose to respond. I think the question is, how do we as individuals deal with it? Mm. The same way as, we're not complaining when we get up at 1 o'clock in the morning and do all our shopping online, or we want Amazon to deliver it to the next day. So I think we've got to watch the hypocrisy of this argument and, you know, get the facts right. You know, are these issues of business practice or are these issues of this overdriving consumer need that we want everything there and then? And, you know, we need tools maybe to calm down a little, but I think the benefits far outweigh the negative, and that's just the way life is, and we need to get on with it and learn how to live in that fast lane.
You see, maybe, Avril, the old-fashioned way of working 9 till 5 was wrong. I mean, the assumption there is that those are your most productive 8 hours of the day.
Not true.
And you pack your bag and you clear your desk at 5 and that's your day done. But, you know, you might not have worked to a very high standard at some point during those days, and you've maybe got a couple of hours in the evening, which would be, you know, equally, if not more productive. Yeah. So why not do it?
Absolutely. I think the kind of 9 to 5 or 8 to whatever really probably comes, I'm just thinking about it, comes out of mills and the Industrial Revolution, and you wanted to keep your machinery going in those hours. And we've not truly addressed, there are books written, but we've not truly addressed what is the logic of that. I think there's old-fashioned notions about motivation. If I can't see them, they're not working. Now, our young people don't work that way. They're very hardworking. I see lots of kids in their 20s, and they are working at all the hours that suit them, and they find the hours that fit their thinking style best. However, you know, going back to this research, I always question statistics, because ever since they made me do them, I'm not sure they've shown what you call a causal relationship. Are we saying that taking work home makes relationships bad, or is taking work home a way of avoiding a bad relationship? Now, it won't get better if you don't address it and build the relationship. But let's not blame your laptop. If you're avoiding going to bed with someone, I've got to work, there may be another reason.
I also think that, I mean, personally, I think they've done all of us a disservice with the research. You know, this isn't about business. This isn't a problem for business. This is a problem for us. We are addicted to our tablets. It's got nothing to do with who we work for. You know, if you look at the kids today, they're on their phones all the time. We check, the information highway. You know, we're on it 24/7. We're addicted to news. I am. I watch all the time. That's got nothing to do with who I work for or my clients. That's a question of how do I, you know, learn to adapt what is personal time and what is work time. It's a bit hypocritical to blame it all on business, because that's life. You know, everything is so fast.
It is life, but I suppose I was just thinking, it seems like people aren't content just to be with their own thoughts. Like, they always need to be reaching for something, like myself as well. But are we saying that that's okay? That state is, you know, is acceptable? There's something just not quite right about that. If you can't sit and not feel itchy to reach for your phone or something, you can't just be. Are you saying that that's okay?
It's almost like, you know, I miss, you know, kids picking up books. You know, I miss, you know, getting a CD out and putting it in the machine. But as much as we all miss it, and, you know, we look at our, you know, we look at everybody who go to restaurants and they're actually not having a conversation, they're sitting on their phones. You know, that is the way of life. It's a question of, as you say, I think the psychologist should be giving us the tools to say, right, how do you live today in this modern world? We're not in the Victorian ages. How do we actually give ourselves more tools to have a little bit of time out? Not a question of, oh, it's all wrong and anxiety problems, because that's what it is.
Interesting what you said, just about how things move on and each generation misses something that from a previous, there'll be older people sitting thinking, oh, I miss winding up the gramophone and dusting off the vinyl. But I wonder, given that we have changed our work habits then, Avril, and it is an evolving thing, I mean, but the days are finite. I mean, you know, it's only going to go so far, isn't it?
Yeah, and this is a great time of year. I often, with my clients, you know, in leadership and in business, I start the year by doing the kind of mind map of what are all of the important things in your life. Because I might be here to talk about your work performance or your potential, but what else gives you the full life that positive psychology speaks of? So it's not a case of, I hate things that tell me not to do it because I'm mm-hmm. counter-suggestible. If somebody says don't eat chocolate, hey, you know where I'm going. and New Year is often about that. Don't do this, don't that. What we want to do, and I know most of us want to do this, is have everything. So what is the everything that needs to be in your life? For me, my family, my that's a big extended family around the world. So WhatsApp is vital to me because I know what my cousin in New Zealand's doing minute mm-hmm. by minute. So it's a case of planning what is important to you and what does that mean? And sometimes it means being a little bit less spontaneous and a little bit more planned because it's lazy. And I think I know for myself that things like being able to catch up with television, we'll say iPlayer, but certainly over Christmas I was also afflicted by Netflix. Mm-hmm. And I can feel how addictive that is. That you think, oh, I can watch the next one in the series. All that delayed gratification of my youth where you had to wait a week. You suddenly can get quite addicted and you can get quite tense doing that. Oh, I must watch the next one and the next one. Rather than doing what I know is essential in business is taking time to reflect. We make mistakes and we don't function well if we don't have that quiet time because our brains need it. My test is a Sudoku test. Going home on a Friday night on the train, can I do the Sudoku?
Right.
Because on a Saturday morning, if I pick it up, I can finish it in a minute or two. Uh-huh. On a Friday night, I've got too much information in my head. My brain is not functioning well. So defining what your test is so that everything in your life is in balance and as good as you can make it sometimes means putting the phone down, even if it's at that dinner table, because you want to check a fact you're having an argument about, mm-hmm. which I know we've resorted to very recently.
Avril, thank you very much for that.
You're welcome.
I with you in the Sudoku, that's something that I do. I do it in my mind. I was telling Kirsty just a couple of weeks ago, I do mental Sudoku. I got stuck the other week on 7. Tessa, good to see you.
Thank you, Fred. Good to see you. Thank you, a pleasure.
And Tessa got
always.
Through the last 15 minutes without checking any texts or emails.
As soon as you go out the door, I know I did. I turned it off.
Deliberately.
Twitchy.
Thank you very much.
See you later on.
Bye-bye.